Father, thank you again for the freedom to meet together as your people to consider timeless truths in your word. Help us perhaps to fix one thing in our minds today as 2024 comes to an end. And we look forward to what you have us to think about. In Jesus' name, amen. I nearly said in the next hour, because I think Duncan prayed our speaker for the next hour, which induces panic appropriately. You will need the text of the song, and I was secretly happy when Jason had already picked it for two reasons. Number one, you got to sing all seven verses. Number two, if you read the fine print, just about every verse in the version in the Green Book is altered. And the version in the Green Book differs from the Red Book. And there are many versions, and I've been responsible for a few of them, because poetry is what gets lost in translation. So, to save the trouble of learning the original language, it's often helpful to have several translations. Perhaps the easiest scripture to find is Revelation 22, because it's at the end of the Bible. So it should be easy to flip to, right? Revelation 22. Verse 12, which may or may not be written red ink in your version. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Which, of course, teaches us several important things. Our work is not finished until we see the Lord face to face. We may never safely assume we're not yet at the halfway point if we're young. And it's perhaps silly to assume we know when the last page is turned, when you get, say, to be over 50. Our times are in his hands. Christmas is coming. Sounds better than Christmas comes. The Lord is coming, which sounds better than Jesus comes, which is what cometh in the Old English meant. So I'd like to suggest two things today, and Lord willing, I'll finish by 12, because I know kids get hungry and they will resent Duncan having a long practice, unless perhaps there's food. I come quickly. The flavor of the word is, I am coming quickly. Christmas is coming. We know it's ahead. There's a countdown we're tempted to get involved in and to enjoy. We know that every time we wake up in the morning, one day closer than we were yesterday, which for a believer, of course, means the Lord has more for me to do. So I invite you privately, either now or later, to look back on 2024 because wanting the Lord to come, oh come, oh come, Emmanuel, it's intense. If we want him to come so badly, are we in any degree satisfied with what we've been able to do for him? Or is there a problem we just want to be rid of, which may be totally understandable? Oh, I just wish this week were over. That's probably in the minds of three of our grandkids who have college exams in the next few days. The weekend is coming, a lot of people tell each other at work. Present challenges are surely better when we look at them in the rearview mirror. In the case of the believer, this is a firm reminder the Lord's schedule is not going to be changed by our success or lack of it in doing the work, the good works he has prepared for us to do, Ephesians chapter 2. So December 31st and January 1st are just special days of convenience. They're not going to change the Lord's timetable. And when we think about it, the planet takes 24 hours to shift from one day to the next. So in a very loose sense, it's all relative, and our perspective is not identical to everybody else's. Verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the whole span of the alphabet in which this text is written. There's a schedule, there's a timetable. Even the Lord himself before Calvary said, I don't know the exact day. But the span of God's plan will be unaltered, and eventually we'll be privileged to see the next important part of it. Let's look over at verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the origin and the full flowering fruit of his royal line. I am the bright and morning star. With all the implications of that symbolism. Verse 17, the Spirit and the bride, the church, say, come. The flavor is, keep on coming. Let him that heareth, the person listening to this text, because originally it would have been heard as much as read, let him that heareth say, keep on coming. Let him that is athirst come. Okay, I'm going to back away. There's a technical difference here, but we're not going to divert attention to that. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. There's salvation offered still as 2024 comes, is coming to an end. Verse 20, He which testifieth these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Now that goes back to Revelation chapter 1, the prelude to the vision. And in Revelation chapter 1, John tells us, I'm just the human agent for communicating this vision. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be to you, and peace from him which is, in modern English we would say him, or rather he who is, and who was, and who is coming. Present. Skip over to verse 7. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also who pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. His final return is going to get various kinds of reaction. I am Alpha and Omega, chapter 1, verse 8. The beginning and the ending, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is coming, the Almighty. So at the very end of the book, and the end of the canon of Scripture, verse 20, he who testifies these things, that's the Lord Jesus himself, surely I am coming quickly. Even so, come, literally, keep on coming, Lord Jesus. It's not as if the Lord is thinking about beginning his return. Every twist of the planet, every new day as we experience it, is simply the next stage on his return. We used to have minions, but they grew up and became Maxians. You know who you are. I'd appreciate the Maxians to give these to all who want. There's another Maxian over there. Don't worry, they are coming towards you. And hopefully we've got enough for everybody who wants it. Well, you know from a quick glance at the textbook, the hymn book, the song we sang last week and this week was originally in Latin. We're not going to focus on anything in the Latin per se. That would be a fascinating study in itself, at least to me. But what always impresses me is that it appears as early as 900. So for 1,100 years, the church and many believers have been singing this text. I don't think there's another text still in our hymn books that goes back as far. There is possibly one in the Black Book, but the way it is in the Black Book is such a change from the original is hardly the same song. So whenever believers sing, keep coming, keep coming, Emmanuel, they're in a sense joining a chorus that's been going on for over 1,000 years. In fact, just over halfway back to the crucifixion. It was traditionally sung in Christmas Eve services. It got arranged in a different way a mere 314 years ago, and it often gets changed. Usually, the seven stanzas are truncated to 4, perhaps 5, because for better or worse, and I'm honestly not sure which, we don't have the attention span our ancestors did, which may spare us discomfort, but creates other issues. The hymn is saturated with references to the Lord Jesus. Few hymns refer to as many scriptures. Many hymns that we still sing from the 19th and the 20th centuries focus on the individual believer and our experience of the Lord. Nothing wrong with that, but it's a different approach to making melody in our hearts than singing scripture. Born in human flesh, the Lord's title was to be Emmanuel. The angel told Joseph as much in Matthew chapter 1. In his role as supreme prophet, he displays wisdom. Check it out in Colossians chapter 2. In his role as priest, he fulfilled and went beyond the law that as Adonai, Lord Supreme, he gave at Sinai. Hebrews chapter 8 details that. As king, he's root and branch, beginning and ending, Alpha and Omega in David's line, king forever. So he alone has the right to hold the key of power. And of course, as good shepherd, he told his disciples he's the door for the sheep, not just the key for the door. He will come as the rising sun of righteousness, which is the last image we have of him in the Old Testament, Malachi 4:2. I wrote all this down so I can stick to text and stick to time. And guess what? It gives you the opportunity, if you want to take it home, read through it, look up the scriptures as you ask yourself in the next 3 weeks. So 2025 is coming. What am I looking forward to if the Lord takes me into that year? I think I will be annoying at the annual business meeting again and say, could we please schedule a wedding now for 2025? We've had one the last 3 years. Lynn and I anticipate 5 high school graduations, so we don't want a wedding to mess up our other plans. But kids follow their own timetable. Our 19-year-old grandson texted me this morning. I thought he was in New York City yesterday, but in fact they're not going till today. They want to see the big tree. 17 of them are going together. They call him Father Andrew because he's a year older than the rest of them. And undoubtedly they'll have a good time. As Grandpa, I want to text him, "Don't you know exams are coming this week? What are you doing taking time off to go to Manhattan?" It's not too far from Philadelphia. And I'm sure he would tell me it relaxes our minds and imaginations and it might be helpful in the exams. Well, I'll find out in a week or two. But plans change, sometimes wonderfully. And of course, as believers, we think at the end of a year, well, the Lord didn't come back in 2023. What happened in 24 that makes us actually happy that he didn't come back over a year ago? So what's coming up that we kind of like looking forward to, and a tiny part of us says, "Lord, please don't come back until..." It's 6 months since our Spanish grandson graduated, 6 months exactly till our next grandson graduates, Lord willing. The time goes quickly. Graduation day, in many senses, is always coming. And every time we get up in the morning, we're 24 hours closer. C.S. Lewis famously said that everyone, saint and sinner, happy or sad, moves through time at 24 hours a day. It may not feel like that, but that's what it continues to be. I think you know that I dislike truncating hymns because it often murders the intent of the writer. Well, this hymn actually had 13 verses, but we'll sing 4 of them. We got hymns in the Black Book like that. I'm not going to go off on them. But think about it. If a hymn has 7 stanzas, perhaps it's significant. We get a wonderful picture in Revelation 5 of what's always going on in heaven. "I beheld, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." I don't think, except possibly by a strange TV simulcast, I don't think on this planet we'll ever hear this many voices simultaneously speaking or singing or chanting or whatever it is, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." There's going to be a memory of Calvary. I don't think we'll sing, "O come, keep coming, Emmanuel," in heaven, because it will not be a future event. I'm sure there'll be songs sort of like it, but they can't be in the same time frame. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power." He's Adonai, the sovereign master. "Riches, he's the King of Kings." "Wisdom, he is wisdom." "Strength," this is not as much a list of things we want to give to him, but a sevenfold recognition of what he already has. "Strength, he's the root of the royal house of Israel." "Honor, he's God with us. We are not on his level at all." "Glory, brightness is always associated with this term. He's the rising sun. We know the sun will come back each morning because the Lord's organized our planet that way. And blessing, he holds the key to the blessed future for every believer. And as the song says, we would like him to bar the way to any downward paths in our spiritual journey. Lord, keep us on the right track. The song has ongoing relevance. We still need wisdom when the world screams out, nah, Christmas is not religious. We're not under law, we're under grace. But just as the law prescribed festivals of celebration as milestones in each year, so as we worship the Lord Supreme, there's still a place for joyous festivals, luncheons that we may be gladder over, because perhaps none of our festivals are perfect in every respect, but I make no comment about something I was not able to go to. The root and the branch of royalty, God's people. Root, branch, they're made of wood. And there's a big tradition in the Middle Ages of the woodenness of the manger and, of course, of the cross. And the Lord had to be in close, not totally comfortable contact with both pieces of wood in order to fulfill his mission. As we noted already, he is the door, not just the key, the door to safety and protection. We look forward. The last verb in the Bible is, keep on coming, on your way, Lord. He's not a baby newborn. That was a tiny piece of time. The Son of Righteousness rising with healing in his wings, the last picture we have of him in the Old Testament. When he taught his disciples how to pray, thy kingdom come, is in there. So we should anticipate his coming as King of Kings. No slight to those of you who enjoy American politics, but let's do our best to make sure the time and energy we spend thinking about leaders always is in favor of the coming king, not the incoming president. We are enjoined to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and all the rest of prophecies still to be fulfilled. Through that working out, God will be visibly with his people. And backing away from any Latin or grammar except what I put on here, by tradition, the poem, the song, the hymn, the meditation, even the catalog, was arranged with just 7 of his titles. There are other titles, so presumably they were selected for a purpose. If you take the first letter of each and reverse them, and trust me, more complicated patterns were built into medieval poetry, we get Erocras, which means I shall be tomorrow. And one of the things that we can understand is I shall be here tomorrow. He's promised to come quickly. And the last thought of a human in the Bible is, come quickly, Lord Jesus. So please take these few suggestions home. Think about them as you formulate plans for 2025. Several folk in our fellowship have major wedding anniversaries coming up, which cast in the shade 40th anniversaries, just short things by comparison. It's going to be a great year if the Lord gives us 2025 in its entirety, or actually even in its first half, because after June, we don't care. So if it helps, follow this up. And please, perhaps, remember to ask when a hymn in the hymnal says altered, let's hope it was always altered for the better. Most of the time, something gets lost in translation. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can anticipate your soon coming, as we often say, ungrammatically. But we join the original writer of this hymn in acknowledging that you are coming, and it will seem to be quick when it happens, whether it's just us facing you individually as we pass to glory as believers or for those left behind. We thank you for the great future you have promised your people, and we ask humbly that you would show us what part, what tiny part you want us to play as 1 year on our calendar ends and a new one begins very soon. We echo the songwriter, keep on coming, Lord. You told us that the one who keeps knocking will be answered. The one who keeps asking will get a reply. The one who keeps seeking will find what they should. We ask indeed that you will help us look forward to your return, the coming back, which in a way is already in process. Thank you for our time. In Jesus' name, amen.